Our number is 800-941-SEAN if you want to be a part of the program. Almost every day on this show, every night on Hannity, we have a lot of news because of Joe Biden's, 10 million plus unvetted illegal immigrants and where they are coming from. And we're seeing massive numbers, tens and tens of thousands from Russia and China. And let's see. Oh, Iran, number one state sponsor of terror, their satellite Syria, Egypt, home of the Muslim Brotherhood, Afghanistan, where Al-Qaeda now has reopened their training camps. We had the latest example, the Biden administration program, the one that actually flies illegal immigrants that you pay for right into America directly and gives people, 40 some odd options where they want to settle and stay. Well, a Haitian illegal immigrant brought in by Biden killed two of his roommates in New York. He used the Biden administration signature, what they call the CBP-1 program, to enter the country illegally. But according to Biden, it is legal. Okay. Was there any vetting done? No. Maybe if there was some vetting, maybe this would not have happened. Anyway, and then, of course, we watched in the U.S. Senate yesterday, basically the Democratic senators shredding the Constitution. Mayorkas, who has facilitated all of this illegal immigration and lied to us for 3 years, the border's closed, the border's secure, the border's closed, the border's secure. Yeah, well, let me tell you, every Democrat that voted against having a trial for Mayorkas, all of them should pay a heavy price in 200 days. This number ought to scare everybody. The number of Chinese nationals that have been entering our country illegally and stopped by Border Patrol so far this fiscal year has now exceeded the enormous number that we saw in fiscal year, all of fiscal year 2023. And we still have, 6+ months to go. According to the Customs and Border Protection data, in the first 6 months of 2024, which began in October, Border Patrol now has caught 24,296 Chinese nationals crossing illegally between ports of entry, far exceeding the 24,125 caught in all of fiscal year 2023. Now, do you think people are making this trip from China, Russia, Iran, Syria, Egypt, Afghanistan because they want a better life for themselves or their families? I don't think so. Now, there was an incredible Daily Mail piece out there, how China is deliberately allowing the export of deadly devices that turn handguns into machine pistols as they are seeking to destabilize the U.S. There was a drill down piece talking about, incentivized murder and how the CCP is providing government funding tax breaks for fentanyl makers. I can't even believe we're discussing this on this program, but here we are, we're discussing it. And our friend Peter Schweitzer has been doing the deepest dive of anybody into all of this. And he's the president of the Government Accountability Institute, host of the Drill Down podcast, his latest New York Times number one bestseller, Blood Money, Why the Powerful Turn a Blind Eye While China is Killing Americans. And a new report out of the House Select Committee on the Chinese Communist Party is revealing that the CCP now has been incentivizing fentanyl production via government funding. Other reports have shown that they have partnered with the Mexican cartels, and China is now subsidizing fentanyl chemicals that are being used to ultimately kill Americans, and they're making a fortune off of it, and we're allowing it to happen because our borders are wide open. Anyway, Peter Schweitzer joins us now. Sir, welcome back.
Sean, always good to be with you. Thanks so much for having me.
How bad is it?
It's terrible. It's killing 100,000 Americans a year through fentanyl poisoning. I think the thing that people sometimes miss is, they see pictures of people that are, sort of shaking, the fentanyl addicts in San Francisco or elsewhere. The vast majority of people that are dying of fentanyl poisoning don't even know they're taking fentanyl. It's a kid studying for a college exam who a buddy says, well, take this Adderall. It'll help you concentrate. And it's actually, a fake pill with fentanyl in it, and they die of an overdose. And this is designed by the...
I have a very good friend of mine. He's been on this show talking about it, who used to work at Fox. Eric Bowling lost his 19-year-old son, University of Boulder. He got a Xanax, which, by the way, any doctor would prescribe to any student that might be suffering panic or anxiety attacks. And he just got it on the street, and it had fentanyl in it, and he never woke up.
Yeah, yeah. It is. It's not an overdose. It's an overdose medically, but it's really a poisoning because people are not intentionally taking fentanyl. And that's what makes this so troubling. And people will say to me, Sean, like, well, I don't understand. Why would, you know, drug dealers want to kill their customers? Well, the Chinese want to kill Americans. That's their involvement in this. They control every stage from the precursors to the money laundering. But for the drug cartels, they're making 20 times the profit margin on sending fentanyl drugs to the United States is 20 times what they make on cocaine or on heroin. So they don't care if they die. So you have this cooperation between the Mexican drug cartels and the CCP. They both get what they want. And unfortunately, our political leaders don't want to stand up and call China out on this. I can guarantee one thing, Sean. If the United States were doing this to China, President Xi would be in President Biden's face about this every single day. And yet this president does not raise this issue. He says there's not going to be any finger pointing for China in doing this. I think we're well past the point we need more than finger pointing to deal with this problem.
Joe Biden has shown no willingness at all, although he did say talk about tariffs this week for the first time, probably only because it's been polled, because he hasn't done anything for over 3.5 years as it relates to China. I would argue that goes back to your previous book, Secret Empires, and the amount of money that the Biden family has done, and how much money they've gotten from China. I haven't even gotten a total figure. Everybody remembers the WhatsApp message. I'm sitting here with my father. Why didn't you keep your commitment? Between everybody he knows and my ability to hold a grudge, you're going to regret not doing this. According to James Comer, 5 days later, what, $5 million was wired into one of these quote bank accounts, or what Comer calls shell corporations. You confirm that happened. Is that true? All true?
Yes. Yes. No, that's absolutely correct. And here's the thing. I mean, you know, the Democrats on that committee say, well, you know, the Bidens were engaging in business transactions with Chinese businessmen. You know, that it's a pretty broad definition of businessman they're using. If you look at the head of CEFC, that energy company.
By the way, this is in the energy sector. This is their, just like Burisma in Ukraine, this is China's oil and gas giant. And they sent this $5 million. This is at a time. We do have on tape Hunter Biden admitting he had no experience in energy, oil, gas, none of it. And we do know at the time he's admittedly was addicted to hard drugs. I can only imagine the dossier that the communist Chinese have on the Bidens.
Oh, absolutely. And think about this. Yi Ming, the head of CEFC, this energy company, had all of these other massively shady connections. So one of the bizarre and very troubling relationships is in 2017, he wires $5 million in the Hunter Biden laptop. This is, according to Yi, this is a loan, a forgivable interest-free loan to the Biden family, not just to Hunter. He wires $5 million. Well, he is business partners at that time with a Chinese gang leader who goes by the name White Wolf. They actually invested jointly and had projects going together and had these associations with these Chinese patriotic organizations. This guy, White Wolf, is the one who set up the Sinaloa cartel in the fentanyl trade. So you literally have one degree of separation between the Biden family and the fentanyl trade that is killing 100,000 Americans every year. So when they talk about a Chinese businessman, you are talking about guys that operate, yes, in Chinese business, but have criminal and other associations that make them far more than your typical Chinese businessman. And that's what a lot of people, I think, are missing as part of the story. And I think it's the reason that Joe Biden does not want to have a conversation about fentanyl in America, because it brings it too close to his family's financial gifts, as it were, from China.
Unbelievable. And I don't see any desire with this administration to ever confront China. Quick break. More with Peter Schweitzer on the other side. All right, we continue with Peter Schweizer. His new book, a number one New York Times bestseller, Blood Money, Why the Powerful Turn a Blind Eye While China is Killing Americans. I don't think they have the ability to confront China. I've got to imagine that the communist Chinese, Russia, and all these countries that they did business with, am I wrong in believing in my heart and soul that they probably have dossiers on Hunter Biden that would probably even implicate Joe Biden?
Oh, I don't think there's any question about it. And they also have the leverage of knowing that they have these dossiers, but have the ability to demonstrate the full extent of these relationships. You know, the Hunter Biden laptop is just one source of communication that Hunter Biden used, that the Biden family used. And there's no question in my mind that there are probably other communication devices that the Chinese captured. And the bottom line, Sean, is we know one thing about these individuals that were stuffing the pockets of the Biden family. They were not getting any legitimate service or business in return. So the question is, why did they continue over the course of years to send millions of dollars to the Bidens? They were getting something in return. What exactly it is, we don't necessarily know, but I think it absolutely had everything to do with Joe Biden's policies and Joe Biden's posture towards China. So they are not in a position to, you know, confront China in any direct way, even though it involves the killing of Americans. And we've talked about fentanyl. You mentioned earlier the story in the Daily Mail that came from the reporting in Blood Money. China has smuggled these devices into the United States, the Glock switches, that convert handguns to fully automatic machine guns. They're highly illegal, and they smuggled thousands of them into the United States. We've got machine gun fire in urban America. Our police are being outgunned because of this. But Joe Biden will not confront China on what they're doing. He wants to take away the Second Amendment rights of law-abiding Americans. So, again, this is resulting in violence and death of the American people at the hands of actions that China's taking, and Joe Biden does not want to deal with this issue or even confront China over it.
I mean, it's almost a novel that you would read and not even believe. It's so insane. What do you think the communist Chinese motive is here? Because it sounds to me like they're engaged in a Cold War against the United States, and the United States basically is putting their head in the sand.
Yeah, I think that's it. You know, as I lay out at the beginning of Blood Money, China has this doctrine called disintegration warfare. And on the cover, it was a book written by two military officers in China in 2012, and it's been embraced by the Chinese government. On the front cover of that book, they quote the ancient Chinese strategist Sun Tzu, and the quote is, "The best strategist is the one who defeats his enemy without actually fighting him." And what disintegration warfare means is we're going to look for ways to undermine, fragment, disintegrate the United States. But we're going to do it without giving the appearance that we're actually at war or doing anything hostile to them. And that's working. You know, fentanyl was part of that. COVID was part of that. These Glock switches that we talked about are part of it. We know that they're aggressively involved in cyberspace. They have, you know, hundreds of thousands to millions of social media accounts where they position themselves. They present themselves as Americans. These accounts are actually run by Chinese intelligence officers and propagandists. And basically half of these accounts, Sean, say that America is a hopelessly racist, bigoted society. And the other half of the accounts basically say, "I only like white people." They're trying to stir up dissension and racial fragmentation in America. So this is a full-fledged attack on the United States without actually giving the appearance of a war.
Peter Schweizer, president of the Government Accountability Institute, author of the number one New York Times bestseller, Blood Money, Why the Powerful Turn a Blind Eye While China Kills Americans. Anyway, Amazon.com, Hannity.com, bookstores around the country. There's a reason it's number one. Your government needs to read this. Joe's not going to do it in 200 days. That can all change. Peter, thank you.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. On Purpose is dedicated to helping you be happier, healthier, and more healed. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how he got comfortable with fear, navigating the changes in relationships, and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern. This conversation shows a never-seen-before side to Orlando Bloom and his unique life journey.
I think we all struggle sometimes to really deeply believe that we are enough, that we're valued, that we're valuable. You know, we're imprinted by our parents from the age of 0 to 7, right? Mm. I'm constantly trying to go, like, how do I detach from my, from this idea of, is that my baggage? It doesn't look like my baggage. I mean, I know, okay, that's mine. Let's unpack that.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts. Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. On Purpose is dedicated to helping you be happier, healthier, and more healed. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how he got comfortable with fear, navigating the changes in relationships, and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern. This conversation shows a never-seen-before side to Orlando Bloom and his unique life journey.
I think we all struggle sometimes to really deeply believe that we are enough, that we're valued, that we're valuable. You know, we're imprinted by our parents from the age of 0 to 7, right? Mm. I'm constantly trying to go, like, how do I detach from my, from this idea of, is that my baggage? It doesn't look like my baggage. I mean, I know, okay, that's mine. Let's unpack that.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
25 to the top of the hour, 800-941-SEAN if you want to be a part of the program. New car prices are through the roof. Biden inflation, of course. Even used cars now costing a fortune. So people are hanging on to their car longer, and that makes car shield protection all that much more important. You know, you're down, cruising down the highway with your kids in the car, windows rolled down, you're blasting some music on the radio, and suddenly your car sputters and coughs, and it throws a wrench into your whole day. And then on the other side of that, what do you have? Tow trucks, repair bills that are through the roof. It never ends. Don't wait until your car literally steals your peace of mind. Call Car Shield now, 800-587-5060. Go to their website, carshield.com/Hannity. They've been around for 20 plus years. They offer plans covering 5,000 parts and systems, from engines to transmissions to electronics. So God forbid you have a costly repair, they're going to take care of it from beginning to end. Now, every Car Shield plan also has unlimited miles, whether you, again, your car has 5,000 or 150,000 miles on it, 24/7 roadside assistance. If you have that from some other organization, you could say bye-bye and save money that way. They have rental options if you need it. Anyway, call Car Shield now. Be safe on the road and be safe and protected from expensive repairs. 800-587-5060. On the web, it's carshield.com/Hannity. Join the millions of customers now. Mentioning my name saves you 20%. 800-587-5060, carshield.com/Hannity. Right now, check it out. So I had two American friends. I have Israeli friends, but I had two American friends that were in Israel on Saturday night when the attack from Iran began. We talked to the great one, Mark Levin. He was there at the time. I had gotten news this attack was imminent, late Thursday, early Friday, and I was just desperately trying to get him on the phone. It took a while. I finally got him. I did not know John Andrasik was there, from Five for Fighting, hours before this attack began. You know, he had 10,000, 15,000 people in Hostage Square in Israel. And literally was performing his new song, Okay, that he wrote in the aftermath of October the 7th. And it just reflects the sadness, the reality, and the hatred that lives in every corner of the world, it seems, at this point for the Jewish people and Christians, too, in many cases. And this was him performing that night. Listen.
Forbidden loss for love.
there to our friend John Andrasik. He joins us now. This new song, literally, he was singing that just hours. He performed that song before tens of thousands in Hostage Square in Israel. And I did not know you were there until we started communicating. I think you wrote me. You told me that this had happened. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Where are you? Are you safe and secure? And what's going on? And we stayed in touch. And I said, please let me know when you land, when you were leaving. And thankfully you did. And you got home safe. I mean, this now in retrospect has to be surreal for you. Because you played that song hours before this attack occurred.
You know, Sean, it was. It was fascinating. Right before the event started, they actually did an announcement that said, in event of an imminent rocket attack, take this action, which I'd never heard before a show before, Sean. And the crazy thing is nobody left. Not one person left. The hostage families were there, the hostage friends, so many supporters. And to sing that song in that moment, under that threat, for the hostage families, for the people of Israel who feel abandoned, I got to say, it took me right back to the concert for New York, you know, singing Superman at the concert for New York. So it was inspiring. It was scary. It was every emotion, but I was honored to do it. And I really thank you. I know you, once you found out I was there, you were on with me for almost 48 hours. So I appreciate that. And actually, I was texting Mark, you know, when the interception started going in Jerusalem.
By the way, be grateful you weren't with Mark, because I'm sick of this thing. They put me in the bed. I'm going up to my room.
No, I was getting the ranting tweets, too, while interceptions were happening in Jerusalem.
He goes, everybody's fine here for crying out loud.
Oh, damn it, Joe Biden.
Exactly. But, you know, I was worried. Look, I was feverishly calling him. I couldn't wake his ass up. And I'm finally, he called me back. I'm like, well, thanks for finally picking up your phone. Now, it is 6 hours or whatever. I think it's 6 hours ahead. But, you know, I did watch you perform that song. And we'll put it. I want to put both videos. I want to put the video. I remember when you gave me an early version of this song and you wanted me to listen to it. And we were talking about different ideas for the music video that would accompany this song. And, you know, first of all, I got to tip my hat to you because you're one of the few people, and you did this with Ukraine as well, that sees what's going on in the world. And you're just so driven and motivated as an artist to speak out about it. And it is giving people so much comfort. When I saw the size of the crowd that you were performing in front of at Hostage Square, I was blown away. And then you're meeting all these families. They don't know if their loved ones are dead or alive, or they know that their loved ones were killed. You know, it seems that, 1,200 people died that day when this unprovoked attack happened. And then we got a president of the United States that just keeps lecturing Israel not to win their war on terror and to stop because he's more concerned about votes that he's losing in Dearborn, Michigan, and other places in the country, because, you know, he would stand on the side of liberty and freedom and the right of a country of self-defense. And what's even worse is he's telling Israel, you're on your own if you fight back against Iran. And meanwhile, 300 missiles were fired into that country. And thankfully, they were able to stop 99% of them.
You know, when I wrote OK and the video came out in Israel, tweeted it and shared it, I think I got a small sense of what Jewish people deal with every day, Sean. We're not Jewish, but the vitriol that I received, the threats, and you don't have to be Jewish to condemn Hamas. You have to be human. And after that video came out, I got thousands of emails from Israelis saying exactly what we're saying. They feel abandoned. They feel abandoned by America. They feel abandoned by the world. They feel abandoned by music artists who have been silent through this whole episode. And that's why I went. That's why I went to Israel. I wanted them to see they're not abandoned. There are millions of Americans, tens of millions of Americans who support them, who want the hostages home. And I'm glad I did. And I'm glad I spoke to the hostage families. I'm glad I played for the troops. I'm glad I played at Hostage Square, because it's been shameful to see the response of the world to Israel and the evil that is Hamas. And it makes me mad. But being there and being with those people, Sean, they have fortitude. They have joy. They have compassion. They have smarts. They're going to win this. But thank God for the Iron Dome, because if not for the Iron Dome, we probably wouldn't be talking right now.
you're probably right, because my understanding is, well, Mark was in Jerusalem, you were in Tel Aviv, which was the target of a lot of these missiles that were being fired. I don't want to drag you too deep into my world, because the world of politics is a sewer, and you don't need the stench of it on you as well. But it's, to me, I it might be the lowest point, I think, in Biden's presidency, by not only abandoning Israel, but putting a knife right in their back and twisting it. You know, how is it that he has put his own blind personal political ambition above a simple moral principle, which would be you stand against radical Islamic terrorists? And it's just sad to me that the United States of America has a president that doesn't have the moral clarity to stand against radical terrorism, especially when you consider what we went through after 9/11. Israel never abandoned us.
I'm glad you used the word moral, Sean, because that's exactly what it is. It's not political. It was moral when I wrote Blood on My Hands about America abandoning our allies and our citizens to the Taliban. When we saw that happen, I think we saw these dominoes starting to fall. When we offered Zelensky plane tickets and he asked for missiles, and President Biden said, well, maybe a little invasion's okay. We're seeing the exact same dynamic here. And again, it's not political with me. If some other crazy company invaded and took hostages and massacred 1,200 people, this song would remain the same, only the names would change. It is a moral message. That's why Reagan, you know, that's why the Reagan doctrine still stands. And I'm proud of our speaker, who's not only standing up for Israel, but standing up for Ukraine. Because these are all connected, Sean. Putin, Hamas, Iran, they are all connected. I put them right next to each other in my video, Over the World, Evil's on the March. Hey, it's the axis of evil all over again. So I think if we don't realize that, and we don't take a global approach to this, this is not just Hamas versus Israel. This is civilization against those who want to tear it down. And the fact that we've been on the sidelines and in many instances, you know, undercutting Israel, it's a historical shame, as is the historical shame of the artists of America and the world who have remained silent and afraid to call out Hamas for the evil. It's a historical shame. The world has gone mad, but we have plans. We're standing up for it. This concert's just the first of many things, Sean. We are going on offense. And my friend, all your tweets and your texts to me meant a lot, because certainly it wasn't ideal to be there. But knowing that you were trying to pull every button to get us out of there, that I will not forget.
I had made calls that you don't know about. I'd like to tell you right now. I was looking for plan B, plan C, and plan D. But, you know, let me ask you this, because you have now been more outspoken politically through your music, which is phenomenal. I mean, look, everyone's always going to love Superman and 100 Years and all the great hits that you play. Have things changed for you in either the concerts you're giving, how people react to you? Has that changed?
You know, some people are really grateful. You know, I play okay every night. I just played a show last night. I flew back to Washington, and I talk about this moral message. And people, you know what they say to me, Sean, at the end? You know, certainly Jewish people say thank you, right, because they do feel abandoned. But non-Jewish people come up and say, you know, thank you for singing for good. They don't say thank you for singing for Israel. They say thank you for singing for good, because people in their gut, they know right from wrong, and they know what we're doing in America is shameful. So there's that side, and then there's the vitriol and the death threats and the nut jobs. But, you know, after meeting with hostage families, Sean.
By the way, welcome to my world. In the early years of Five for Fighting, and you're coming out with hit after hit after hit, I doubt you ever got any type of hostile comment in your life. Rock stars are loved, man. They're not hated like talk show hosts.
Well, but, you know, is that when you meet with hostage families and you look them in the eye and you see their pain and their suffering and what they're going through.
Terrible.
Backlash. Any backlash we get, anybody that calls us a name, anyone who wants to protest my concert, you know, that is trivial. That is trivial. And if we don't stand up, I'm sorry, the bad guys are going to win. And with every voice, your voice, Mark's voice, and it's not a left-right thing. Most of the folks I was over there with in Israel were Democrats, leftist Democrats. If you have a soul, you understand right and wrong. You understand the good that is Israel, the evil that is Hamas. So I think this is a time for us all to come together, just like after Concert for New York, just after not like after 9/11. But we can't play defense. We have to go on offense, and that's that's what you're going to see, some new things coming forward. But yeah, it's yeah, some people don't want to hire me, some people don't want to buy a ticket. Yeah, whatever.
Don't worry, I'll buy extra. John Andrasik, the video of him singing in Hostage Square is up on Hannity.com, and the original video that he put out with the song when he did debut the song, we're putting that up as well. Thank you, my friend. Glad you're home safe.
Thanks, Sean. God bless America.
800-941-SEAN, our number. All right, that's going to wrap things up for today. Loaded up tonight. Chaos in the courtroom of Donald Trump today. Jonathan Turley weighs in on the entire case. Stephen A. Smith rightly nailed it. He said, yep, Democrats, they want Trump to be in court, in jail, and don't want him to run for president because they don't think they can beat him. Also, Vivek Ramaswamy, the latest out of Israel, Brooke Goldstein, Alan Dershowitz, and Victor Davis Hanson handicaps the 2024 race in just 200 days. All happening tonight, 9 Eastern on Fox. We'll see you tonight, back here tomorrow. Thank you for making this show possible.
It's the Kia Summer Sticker Sales Event, so give your friends something to look at, like a B&B with an ocean view, an endless field of wildflowers, or a sunset that needs no filter. Make this a summer to share and save with a capable Kia SUV or powerful sedan. See your local Kia dealer or visit Kia.com to learn more. Kia, movement that inspires. Call 800-334-KIA for details. Always drive safely. Sale applies to purchase of specially tagged 2024 vehicles only. Quantities are limited. Must take delivery by 7/8/24.